This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. On this fifth day of December, cold day, a really cold day out here, and I'm doing it from a remote studio because the roads are so bad. The roads were so bad out there that, folks, I want to tell you, we got some snow. We really got some snow out here today. So, anyhow, tonight we have, he's back. That's right, Peter Glidden. Hey, Peter.
Hey, Pastor, thanks so much for having me. We had a little audio difficulty at the beginning, but we sorted it out through the magic of the Christmas season. So good to be here.
Well, I know that, but you see, I got my top number one producer right there. When there's a problem, he can take care of it. And that's Style.
There you go. It's good to have good help, buddy.
Hey, Style.
Hey, yeah, Pastor, okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a while, Peter. We get a lot of people have been calling and asking, whatever happened to you?
And I was on vacation the last time, so I was unable to dial in. But I'm back, baby, and I'm back with a vengeance. Let's go.
You're ready to go for it already. Well, we got to start out with, I got a prayer request here. A lady named Rachel in Florida is going to have surgery. She says a very serious surgery at 5 a.m. in the morning, and she asked us to please hold her up. She wants us to hold her up in prayer. So everybody out there, join with me. Everybody join with me. Rachel's a professing Christian lady, and she's asking that we would pray for her tomorrow as she goes under the knife. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just would hold Rachel up right now and just ask Heavenly Father, Lord God, for your intercession. And with this, as tomorrow as she has her surgery, you guide the surgeon's hand, Father God, and Lord, we know that you would give her the peace that passes all understanding. I know some people are deathly afraid of surgery, and so, Lord, just give her that peace that passes all understanding. Guide the surgeon's hand and let it come to fall out in a way that the operation goes completely good And, Lord, that she has a complete healing, and then you use her in a mighty way to your glory, Lord, that you turn her desires towards you at all things, at all times, completely and totally. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All righty. We're going to get into our scripture. You ready for that?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Now, the title was Church Polity and Etiquette. Church Polity and Etiquette. Do you know what church polity is? Hardly anybody does nowadays.
I do not.
Okay. Church polity is the government of the church. It's the government of the church. And, of course, etiquette is the ways the church is operated, things that the mannerisms, things that are proper and not improper. And so we've been going all through Scripture with a number of things. It's the way you behave yourself in the house of God or as in general in the church. And we're going to pick it up tonight where we left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now I praise you, brethren. Chapter 11, verse 1. Be you followers of me, even as also I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered unto you. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that it is even all one as if it were shaven. Okay, let me just stop right there. He's talking about two things here. The word comb. You know where we get the word comb?
No.
It comes from the word, in the Greek word, comb. K-O-M-B. Meaning man's hair. And komea means woman's hair, means long hair. Now, often you see pictures, the artist's perceptions, the pictures of Christ that are really, like so many other things, not real accurate. And you see Jesus with his hair down to his shoulders. Well, that was not at all the actor. If you go back and you look at all those old, the busts of the people out of Roman and Empire in those days, and the busts of even the apostles in that, of those days, their hair was like our hair, you know. It was not shoulder length. It was what the average man has today, you know. And here, so he's making a statement that man was made in the image of God. God made man. And then woman was made for man in man's image. And so the idea that a man would not have his head covered, but a woman would have her head covered. It also has something to do with when he says, as if it were shaven or shorn. So at that time in Corinth, and this is where he was in Corinth at that time, you had the Temple of Diana, and young women, you know, starting at the age of 18 for 2 to 3 years would have to work as temple prostitutes. And you would know them that they were a temple prostitute by their head. They would shave their head, okay? Not all the way bald, but they would cut their hair very, very short, like a butch haircut. And so here, and of course that was a shame to be a prostitute. And here, in those days too, when you went to church, when one of these prostitutes got saved and would come to church, the other, you know, the women in that church would see that she was, you know, her hair was a prostitute, and they would make very sure that she was nowhere near their husbands, okay? And like in those days, women were, you might even say, both men and women, more possessive than they are nowadays. Actually, they were the way they really should have been. And so here he goes on to say, For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, forasmuch as he is the image of the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power over her head, because of the angels. What do you think that means?
That's a good question.
Well, the angels were assigned to all of us that were going to get saved. Everyone who would be saved. You've often heard people say, I have a guardian angel, right?
Yeah.
Well, not so much. You see, he tells you very, very clearly over there in Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, that those that are about to be saved, we have guardian angels assigned to us. They're assigned to us until we get saved. Once we're saved, once you become saved, who comes to dwell within you?
Right.
The Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit you receive, okay? And he that is in us is greater than what? He that is in the world, right? But now angels do intercede continuously on our behalf. I believe that in every gospel preaching New Testament church that the angels are assigned to that. And I know that the angels have interceded on my behalf. I wouldn't be here today. I mean, I have no doubt at all that that's happened in the past. So here now, the angels here, they're watching us, and they're watching us with real curiosity, and here because someday during the millennial kingdom and when we get to glory, we will judge angels. We will judge angels. In fact, if you go over the 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, he said, he goes here, know you not that we shall judge, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life, okay? So during that period, so the angels are saying, you know, they're watching us with great curiosity. We're the ones that are going to be judging them, okay? And so here now, he goes on to say, nevertheless, is the man without the woman, and neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Well, you know, mothers and fathers are necessary. I mean, if we didn't have a mother, we wouldn't be here, right?
Right.
See, the man needs the woman, and the woman needs the man, don't they?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's the way God made it. And so, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. So, every man has had a mother. Without a mother, he wouldn't be there, okay? So judging yourself is a calmly that a woman praying to God uncovered. And the word calmly means is it proper, okay? Now, her hair, komea, her long hair is given to her for a covering. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Let me ask you this. If the Lord Jesus had the long, shoulder-length hair like they show you in these pictures, do you think the Apostle Paul would have said that?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either, okay? And he goes on, but if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her, for her hair is given for her for a covering. So he's telling you there, that in the church, men are not to have long hair like women. And somehow you see these people, these guys making these commercials on TV, you know, professing to be like Christians, and they've got this hair, and because they're not really truly biblically literate, or they wouldn't have hair down to the shoulders, would they?
That's interesting.
Yeah. That's what we do here, interesting stuff. And so...
Well, so that means then that the crowd of Turin must not be the burial shroud of Christ.
You wouldn't think so, but you know, your hair grows even after you're dead sometimes. And that's what I'm told. So anyhow, he goes on to say now, conduct at the Lord's Supper, at the Lord's Supper. Now, the Apostle Paul takes issue. He's not real happy with these people here because they totally misunderstood the whole purpose of the Lord's Supper. Okay. And he says, now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. In other words, he's saying you are not in accordance with the proper procedures in the church. You're not taking the Lord's table, you know. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it's, for there must also be heresies among you, and they which are approved may be made manifest among you. So he's talking about these different teachings, and they're not right teachings. When you come together, therefore, unto one place, this is not to eat the Lord's table. In other words, he goes on to say, for in eating everyone taketh before his own supper, one is hungry and the other is drunken. And so he's saying, you're doing this all wrong. This boy, you better get this straight here. You're bringing your own food. You're coming and you take, and this guy, he's got no food over here. This guy's got all this food, and you're drinking, you know, wine. And then I'm going to jump ahead and just give you the warning here. He says, but let a man examine himself. First, he gives the proper way to take the Lord's table. And let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh of damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And so, in other words, he's telling you, boy, you better do this. First of all, when you take the Lord's table, once, number one, you need to be saved, okay? Number two, baptized by immersion, okay? Number three, no unconfessed sin, no unconfessed sin. If you take the Lord's table with unconfessed sin, it's a good opportunity or a good chance you're going to end up being very sick or very dead, okay? And so, and that was the point that he's getting across, the proper way to take the Lord's table. And then I wanted to move on here. One other thing here before we, and that's over in 1 Timothy. And this is the proper behavior in the church. And I'll get there in just a minute. But over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and starting with just a couple of verses, verses 9 and 10. Okay, here we go. Let me see. Pages are stuck together. Mine? No. I knew that was a problem, you know, because there's a big difference between 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and that's where I was. I was in 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy. Now, here you go. Not again. I can't believe it that the pages are, I'm having a time tonight. Now I've got it. All right. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh a woman professing godliness with good works. Now, here he's making it very clear that, you know, when women dress, when they come, they, you know, you don't wear mini skirts. You don't wear mini skirts into the church. You know, one of the things, Peter, that you have to kind of approach a little gingerly when you're talking about is this makeup, you know, because all these different women have different opinions of, and we have liberty of how much makeup is the right kind or how much is too much or whatever. So I don't really get into that. And besides that, it's not up to the pastor to really deal with it. In fact, it's really not up to the pastor to address these younger women, because usually if you have a problem with the dress in the church, it's the younger women. I've had situations where I've had women, you know, these young girls that got saved, you know, teenage girls, and never been in a church before, and they come into church wearing what they wear to out there in the world, wearing miniskirts and that, and it's not up to the pastor to talk to them. It's up to the older women in the church to instruct these young girls and to talk to these young girls. And here, you know, it's about dress. Some, you know, they're not to wear. For example, you know, there are some Baptist churches that that only allow women to wear dresses. They don't allow women to wear slacks. Only dresses. A lot of your real independent fundamentalist Baptist church. Now, we understand that there are women's slacks and men's slacks. Back in the days, in the early days, in fact, when he tells you about it's a shame for a man to dress like a woman. In fact, not only does the Bible tell you it's a shame, okay, but it's an abomination for a man to wear women's clothing and a woman to wear man's clothing. Over in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, he tells you that it's an abomination for a man. Again, like I said, I was looking for that passage really quick. But anyhow, it's for a woman to wear man's clothes or a man to wear women's clothes. So, but see, in those days, they wore robes, but there was a difference in the robes, okay? If a woman wore a man's robe, she was chastised. If a man wore a woman's robe, he might be stoned, okay, for doing that, okay?
They're going to steal in Hollywood, Pastor.
Yeah, yeah. And so they didn't really tolerate drag queens back in those days at all, okay? No tolerance. Drag queen got dragged out and stoned. That's what happened with drag queens. And that's what he's telling you here about in the church. You know, women need to dress in a way which it doesn't cause a man to look upon them and lust after them, okay? And so that's about the end of this message for tonight, and we'll be back right after this.
Are met in thee. down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the
Alrighty, we are back, and we have Dr. Peter Glidden with us tonight, and he's been out there roaming all around trying to make people well. And so, what's happening in your world, Peter?
Well, quite a bit, Pastor. So in the past, I've written two books, and I wrote them both, I don't know, about one was 10 years ago, and the other maybe 7 years ago. So I'm 90% through editing them and updating them, changing the treatment protocols, making them a little more user-friendly, a little less confrontational. And I've eked out the third book in the process of doing it. So I'm putting all three books together as a trilogy, and I'm negotiating right now with publisher in order to, get them published and printed and make them available for people. So God willing, and the creek don't rise, that will all be happening before Christmas. New Year's at the very latest. Like I said, I'm about 90% of the way finished with it. And in December, twice a year, I usually do a Q&A marathon. So as I have a website with a lot of self-help, health recovery information on it, which is available to people through a subscription service, a monthly or a yearly subscription. And part of the subscription is 1 hour twice a week of a live Q&A with me and my subscribers. So my subscribers show up to the website, they type in questions, and I answer them live and in living color. However, twice a year, I have a free-for-all Q&A marathon for anybody in the world. No subscription necessary, no emails collected, no nothing. Just show up at the website, engage with the people there politely, and ask me a question, and I'll do my very best to answer it. And we're rolling that out on December the 10th, Tuesday, December the 10th, next Tuesday, from 10 a.m., in the morning until 9 p.m. at night. It's going to be a marathon. I'm going to take a little break for lunch, a little break from dinner. So if anybody in the listening audience wants to ask me a question and just hasn't been able to because of time constraints, or you're a follower of mine already, you're pursuing the protocols already, and there are people in your life that you know would benefit from it, but they're on the fence for whatever reason, then get them to come to my website on Tuesday the 10th. It's free, 100% free, and it's a wonderful way to expose them to the message of science-based, clinically verified, licensed and regulated naturopathic therapeutics, which, in my opinion, humbly speaking, are some of the best-kept medical secrets in the 21st century. So it's my little Christmas present to the world. 11 hours of free Q&A with me Tuesday the 10th at my website, leavebigpharmabehind.com.
All right, and did you know that they're talking, there's a lot of chatter out there, and they're saying that they're going to try to hit us again with some more, you know, like COVID, but much worse. And that's what's being the chatter is out there on the website, trying to gain back control.
Yeah. So my colleagues and I have fingers on the pulse of these things, and there's something in my system of medicine. It's called the status epidemicus, which is, it's kind of like an inventory of the symptomology that people develop in epidemics, regardless of what the causative agent is, right? Whether it's a chemical agent, or it's an electromagnetic agent, or it's a virus, or it's a bacteria, or whatever the heck it is. When people are exposed to it, if it's an epidemic, then they will generate a complex set of symptoms. And if we observe the symptoms that are arising in the people who are exposed to it, then we can come up with treatments which are effective for it. We can't do that beforehand. We have to look to see what the symptoms are. So we have an international group of doctors who are keeping their fingers on that pulse. And if any epidemics do arise in the future, within about a week or two, at the very latest, we can hopefully come up with a status epidemicus of the illness and then develop treatments which would be effective for it. We've had remarkable success. I mean, not just myself, but my colleagues have had remarkable success historically. And this information, of course, is suppressed by Big Pharma, right, whose motto is a patient cured is a customer lost. But really, for epidemic diseases, naturopathic medicine with an emphasis on homeopathic treatment historically have been extremely effective at helping people to recover from these things. During the Spanish flu, whatever it was that was causing that, homeopathic doctors in the British Royal Navy had 85% success rate with treating Spanish flu, while the doctors prescribing drugs had a 15% success rate. And that's not just the only example. Homeopathic medicine historically is extremely effective for that. So heaven forbid, if any of that happens, I've got your back, Pastor. Just lean on me. I'll help you the best I can and anybody else in the listening audience.
Well, we know that the medical profession really took a hard shot, a credibility shot, because of this COVID. And I just was yesterday, I don't have the article here with me, but I was talking about it. They just did a big study, and now check this out. They found out that the whole COVID thing was a total farce. There was nothing legitimate about it as far as how it was spread, what it was, and also about the distancing, the masks. There was nothing legitimate about the entire COVID farce. And guess we kind of knew that from the very beginning, didn't we? I mean, we
knew that from the very beginning, but of course we were silenced and censored, and it was a lot of money put behind the censorship engine. And keep in mind, it wasn't just a censorship engine, but it was also a misinformation engine, right?
Absolutely.
So it was a combination of the two, and it really, it's really a shame, because I have a lot of respect for conventional medical doctors. A good friend of mine is a very famous orthopedic surgeon, retired now. He did really great work back in the day. He was a very compassionate, very skilled physician. And, you know, but what we need, man, in order to take the Zen sword and cut all of this nonsense off at the knees is medical freedom. You know, Benjamin Rush, right? Years ago, Benjamin Rush, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence, here's what he had to say. He said that unless we put medical freedom into the Constitution, the time will come when medicine will organize itself into a dictatorship to restrict the art of healing to one class of people and deny equal privileges to others will constitute the Bastille of medical science. All such laws are un-American and despotic. And regretfully, that happened in 1912 through the agency at the Carnegies and the Rockefellers, we haven't had a free medical market. We haven't had medical freedom for over 100 years now.
And well, you mentioned money, Peter. You mentioned money. And here, Joe Biden's about to make a lot of that because he is going to be selling pardons. They're pushing that that whole January 6th committee, that the corrupt, I mean, that entire corrupt committee that's there, especially at James Colburn, and, of course, all those on there with him, Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi, that whole bunch of, I mean, absolutely corrupt people. But there's another one who is seeking for
crimes haven't committed yet.
Yeah, there. Well, yeah. Well, they want a pre-pardon, and yeah. Guess who's right there in the front of line for a pre-pardon? Okay, you've heard of that guy named Anthony Fauci?
Fauci, yeah. Step right up to the plate, Dr. Fauci. You're such an evil human being. Let's give you a pardon.
All of the people, especially the children that have died because of him, all of the people that are dead because of him and his horrendous affair. And so,
all of the people that lost their jobs, all of the people that went bankrupt because of the social distancing, all of the people that died from the ridiculous treatments, all of the people now that are suffering from side effects of the non-vaccine jab, the poisonous poke. I mean, it's horrible what happened, and to, you know, just give people a pass.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the fellow said, Pastor, history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes.
Yep, and Fauci had patents on those vaccines. He was making millions and millions and millions of dollars. But they're lining up, and Mariakas is another one that's going to try to is going to have to pay to get, because he made a lot of money selling children out there through the this human trafficking coming down from Mexico. 300,000 children missing, and they were trafficking them through there, and Mariakas was getting rich. But he's going to have to spend some of that money, because the Biden crime family don't do anything for free. They're going to be charging for those pardons. You can bet on that. And so,
well, you know, the only good news here is that you can't hide from God. And so regardless of what happens in the court of men, in the court of God, there's going to be a really big day of reckoning.
Amen. Absolutely. We're going to open the phone lines early because we know that those folks are going to want to call you. So we're going to open the phone lines so you can take your calls at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment for Dr. Glidden, give us a call. And did you and Brenda have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, we had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We were visiting her daughter, son-in-law, and their two grandkids in Portland, Oregon. I spent time with a colleague of mine who works right across the river there in southern Washington in a town called Vancouver. His name is Jared Zeff. He was the dean of one of the naturopathic medical schools. And I spent 2 days in his office. And I got to tell you something, man, I learned so much just from being in the same room with this guy. It wasn't even funny. So we had a very, very nice time, even though, you know, we were in Portland. What can I say?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got a radio station there in Portland, which is a really good one. When they were burning Portland down, I was talking to the folks there at the station, the radio station in Portland. They said, we could see it from here. And they were a little concerned about being a Christian radio station, about the communists.
Well, I would have thought one of the last venues to broadcast a Christian radio station, but that's surprising.
Yeah. But anyhow, alrighty, 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. Yeah, I had a wonderful Thanksgiving time. We get to spend, you know, time with folks I hadn't seen in a year.
Wow.
So the last time I saw them was about a year ago. And so there you go. Very good. Anyhow.
Now, I heard,
go ahead.
Heard someone say, Pastor, that if the snow keeps up, it'll never come down. Is that true?
Yeah, that's right. If it stays up, you know, here, I've got where I walk out my front door and I'm up to my knees, over my knees. It's over 2 feet.
No kidding.
No, but that's nothing. Not very far from here at all. Not very far north of me. Okay. They had 61 inches. 61 inches of snow. And,
holy.
And it, as we speak right now, it's still coming down out there hot and heavy.
Wow.
We plowed out today. Luckily, my son does the plowing. He comes over and plowed me out twice today. Because it's the wind. We had like very high winds yesterday, like 50 mile an hour wind gusts at times. But what happens is we get plowed out, and then that wind kicks up and blows it right back. Okay, and yeah, and so. It's I like a white Christmas. I do. I love a white Christmas. But that's all the snow I really need is a white Christmas. And so.
I lived in Durham, North Carolina, back in my misspent youth. And they had a really nice winter because it was like 2 months long, just enough snow to make you, appreciate the change of the seasons. But then spring started, I think, in February, and it was a three-month-long event. It was a spectacular springtime in the Carolinas. Maybe we should move faster. What do you think?
Yeah, we were talking about that today. Pastor Hal was telling me he doesn't like the snow at all. Who do we have? Who do we have there?
We have Paul in Massachusetts.
Let's go to Massachusetts, and we'll talk to Paul. Go ahead, Paul. You're in.
Okay, thank you. First of all, thank you, Pastor Ernie, for having such a terrific show. I listen every chance I get.
Well, thank you.
I'd like to ask the doctor a question about sleep apnea. Is there any type of holistic medicine for that?
Well, yeah. So it's a very interesting and somewhat controversial thing to talk about, because I am of the opinion that at least half of the people who have been diagnosed with sleep apnea don't have sleep apnea at all. Half of the people do. It's a really difficult, it's a tricky thing to nail with a definitive diagnosis, as far as I'm concerned, from an objective point of view. So when we have trouble breathing at night, right? The rationale is that in the human body knows how to regulate everything, and most of the biochemical processes that are happening in the human body are autonomic. They're controlled, they're outside of our conscious control. They happen by virtue of the wisdom of the body, right? Your blood pressure regulates itself, your metabolism regulates itself, the breathing regulates itself outside of your conscious control. So... Mm-hmm. If somebody is, their breathing is slowing down at night, or they even stop breathing for a relatively long period of time, one argument is that the body is doing in order to have a healthy respiratory rate, because just what it does. And there are other people that the breathing patterns are changed because of a metabolic balance. Okay. So my argument is that for people that have been diagnosed with sleep apnea, they should do two things. There are 12 foods that people are eating on a regular basis that are pro-inflammatory, and that if we eat these foods on a regular basis, they will cause inflammation that builds up and builds up and builds up, and then something in the body somewhere breaks. Kind of like if you put diesel fuel into an unleaded engine, the car is going to run like crap if it runs at all. So there are 12 foods people need to stop eating across the board. I need to not eat them. You need to not eat them. Pastor needs to not eat them. Everybody needs to not eat these foods because they will hurt you over time. Number two, you need to give your body the raw material
that it needs to fix itself. And the raw materials fix itself are vitamins, minerals, amino acids, essential fatty acids. The only problem is these nutrients are not all present in the food. Let me say that again. The nutrients are not all present in the food. So unless you are supplementing with the right stuff, your body is deficient, and it's only until something stops working.
Peter, we're having a real problem. You're breaking up. You're breaking up. Can you are you on a speakerphone or something? Or
No, I'm not. Is this any better?
Yeah, that's better there, what you just said, because we were missing like every other word. Okay. But yeah.
All right. So I'm on a cell phone now, and I've got a good signal, so I'll keep the phone closer to my mouth.
Yeah, it's much better now.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, very good. So we need to clean up the diet. There are 12 foods that you need to stop eating. Because these foods are pro-inflammatory, and if you eat them continually, something in the body is going to break. It's like putting diesel fuel into an unleaded engine. The car is going to run like crap if it runs at all, number one. Number two, you have to give your body essential nutrients. Now, an essential nutrient is something that the body needs to work, but it can't make it. There are 90 essential nutrients, 60 minerals, things like calcium and sulfur and zinc, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, and 2 fatty acids. And the problem here is that these essential nutrients are not all present in the food. So over time, your body runs out of essential nutrients, and then things start to break. So, you know, you don't get heartburn because you have a stomach. You don't get arthritis in the knee because you have a knee. You don't get sleep apnea because you have a lung. So the first things to consider here are we have to give the body the stuff that the body needs to operate the way that God intended it to. And we have to stop eating foods which are hurting the body. And, you know, we've done these protocols, believe it or not, with 10,000 people over 9 years. And 83% of them recovered their health. Whatever it was that they were bothered by, their body bounced back. Because the body can fix itself, right? And this is the fundamental message here. The body knows how to fix itself.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, you know, we have other callers, so we're going to have to move it. Let me tell you this very quickly, okay? I had this situation years ago where my wife would wake me up in the night, said, you stop breathing, you know, because I would, when I was sleeping on my back. And when she would do that, then I would just turn up, you know, away from her up on my side. And I'd go back to sleep. Well, then once I was sleeping on my side, she never woke me up anymore because, you know, I didn't stop breathing. And so I got to the point where I just, every night, just slept to my side. I liked doing that better. And I didn't have any problem. And so they had diagnosed me because I went through one of those things, you know, for the health care to... Because my wife had told him I had sleep apnea, so I had to go through that. And they wanted to put a mask and stuff on me. I said, no, I just sleep on my side, and that's all I need. Okay.
Yeah, so the reason that happened faster is because of body weight, right? So if your body weight is too much and you sleep on your back, then that's going to be a problem with the diaphragm and with the breathing apparatus. So that would have been an indication that, you know, you needed to lose weight. And turning over onto your side was you know, you're managing the problem rather than getting to the root cause of it, right? So, but nonetheless, whatever works, right? So to purchase these, I don't sell these nutritional supplements that I'm talking about, but I can tell you where to go to get them. I'll give you a phone number. It's called 888-618-1796. That's 888-618-1796. Tell the person there that you heard me on this radio program and that you would like to purchase one healthy foundation pack. And they'll also give you a list of the 12 bad foods that, you know, you need to stop eating. And this is how we do it. Nutrify your body. Keep your fingers crossed.
Who do we have next there, Style?
We have Brian in Texas.
We're going to go out to Texas with Brian. Hey, Brian, you're in the air.
Hey,
Hey, Pastor, I want to ask the doc a couple of questions. Is my call coming in clear?
Loud and clear.
Good deal. First of all, I want to tell you thank you for taking my call, and I just talked to Sty. Do us Dallas, Texas people a good favor. Be safe going home because I hear the roads and the weather up there is pretty good and pretty bad. So do us a favor. Please be safe going home, all you guys, please.
Alrighty.
Get you on the air, Pastor. Okay?
Okay.
The thing I wanted to bring up about the health and stuff and nutrition is a couple of things real quick. With Kennedy coming in, he said he's going to go after all this processed food and stuff like that, all this stuff that they're ingredients that they're putting in food. That and all this processed food that we're buying at the stores, it's so available for us. And all the food recalls, what's going on with all the food recalls? And I got one quick one also, the vitamin C. I was reading an article the other day. They're finding out the researchers and doctors like the gentleman you have on now, the doctor, they're claiming that vitamin C is a really powerful vitamin. And compared to his products, where are we standing from what I'm basically saying or asking them?
Okay, so first of all, they're not my products. I don't make any money selling these products. I am a cheerleader for these products because in 36 years of clinical work, they're the most effective ones I've ever seen. And nutritional supplements are a lot like wine or beer or chicken soup, right? I mean, all wine is made from grapes, but there's a pretty big difference from bottle to bottle depending on the recipe, the same with beer, the same with chicken soup. So in the manufacture of a nutritional supplement like a vitamin or a mineral, right, there's a lot of variables that have to be in place in order to make one nutritional supplement kind of lousy or another one middle of the road or another one really, really good. There's only a handful of companies in the world that make really, really good nutritional supplements because they use really good raw materials, they have good manufacturing practices, which are expensive and which cut into the bottom line, and so most nutritional supplement companies don't want to do that. So the supplements that I recommend are the most effective ones that I've seen as a doctor practicing medical nutrition in 36 years. You would be hard-pressed to find anything better, that's a non-prescriptive item. As far as Kennedy goes, I think it's lipstick on a pig. Because here's the situation. I mean, I'm glad that he's going to try to clean up the corruption in the medical system. It's a really great idea. But from my point of view, it was the system itself that created the problem. You can't fix the problem from inside the system that created the problem. Benjamin Rush argued years ago that we need medical freedom, and that's what we need. We need equal access to all types of medicine, naturopathic medicine, homeopathic medicine, chiropractic medicine, Ayurvedic medicine. Your medical insurance needs to pay for all of it. The Food and Drug Administration needs to get out of the way. The Federal Trade Commission needs to get out of the way. Universities need to be incentivized to do research on alternative therapeutics because it's the alternative therapeutics which are curative. The conventional medical pharmaceutical therapeutics are not curative. They manage symptoms, and sometimes that's a really smart, really good idea. But, a monopoly is bad because unless you're God, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and we need medical freedom. And Bobby Kennedy's not talking about that. He's just talking about cleaning the current system up, and I think it's not nearly enough by a long shot.
I was picked up something else that Musk was saying. Elon was saying that a lot of these experimental drugs that are out there trying to get on the market, these companies that are coming up with them, they want to. What he was saying is he doesn't want a delay on these life-saving medicines that possibly could save people's lives on a time frame that they want to immediately put them in the market. So, what's your take?
Well,
on
there's
that?
A lot of there are a lot of things that need to be changed inside of the medical market in order to make it better and more effective and more
comfortable. We're going to have to jump in here for 1 minute because we're up against a hard break, so hang tight, and we will be back in a very short break right after this.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.